Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life.
Today, we talk parkruns, New York, Hackney, cycling, heat, and 29 habits that we should be trying to break before we're 30 and pondering the looming thing that is 30. Hi, Lissy.
Hello.
How are you? You're back.
I'm back. Yay. Feels like it's been a long time since I've been on holiday already.
Oh, it always fades quickly.
Yes, it does. Way too quickly. But on the plus side, I'm going on the plane again on Friday.
Oh my God. You are the jet set life right now.
I just love a holiday.
Fair. And always a running holiday.
Yes, this is a running holiday on Friday.
Well, before we get on to that.
Yes.
Let's recap.
Yes, so...
Tell me your highs and lows of your recent weeks.
I like how we don't call them runners' highs and runners' lows anymore. Just
I decided just to omit the runners. Yeah. Well, it could be fitness related. Always fitness related.
Actually. So I guess the high is that I've actually started doing exercise again. Even ran this morning. So we ran park run together this morning. Which
we
was fun.
Did.
Well, I say fun.
It was in a really nice field though. Countryside.
Yes. Can we call Slough the countryside?
Yeah, apparently it's Slough.
I think it just feels like countryside because it wasn't in London. The run was actually not fun at all. It was quite painful. But yeah, we did it. I felt good after.
But you're running again. Injury-free.
Yeah. Kind of injury-free, yeah.
That is a high. Yeah. That's a good high.
Back at One Rebel as well this week, which was nice.
Oh, yeah.
Did some running on a treadmill there. So, yeah. Trying to work off all of the food I ate in New York.
Now, New York. What fitness things did you do in New York?
I did one fitness thing in New York, which was go to a Barry's boot camp class.
They're pretty infamous there, I think.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. It was legs and butt day. So it was lots of squats and lots of deadlifts and lots of stepping up on a step.
Oh, killer.
Yeah, we felt that for a couple of days afterwards. Good, slightly virtuous part of the week to offset all of the fried chicken I ate.
Yeah, the food in New York is amazing. You have to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it was kind of like the main thing that we based all of our other activities around was like, let's go near this restaurant, let's go near this donut shop. Good donuts. Low, what will low be? I'm just really tired still from it.
Bit of jet lag.
It's not been as bad as I thought it would be. I managed to kind of stay up and stay, battle through it, I think.
That's what you've got to do. You have to like pretend, I think.
Yeah, sleep is kind of quite elusive at the moment.
Yes. Haven't really helped, have we? We've just been going out and chatting.
Yeah.
Staying up all night.
Staying up chatting. What about you?
I think my high probably was a bit of this morning's park run, because while it was not very enjoyable during the run itself, the scenery was very nice and I really liked it being in Slough.
Yeah, it was good views of Windsor Castle though.
Yes, there was a good view of Windsor Castle. And it was very nice to do it with you guys. We had a really nice like girly catch up today. My low. Well,
I can guess what it is.
Last weekend. It shouldn't have been a low. It could have been a good one.
It could have been a good one, but...
Interestingly, following our last episode when we talked so much about mind over matter and how much, you know, could you think yourself into faster, you can definitely think yourself into slower. So Hackney Half was predicted to be very hot, and I was getting a bit nervy about it being really hot, and I was feeling a bit stressed about that anyway. And then... I just didn't want to do it. And I've never felt so reluctant to do a race. And that, like, I stood at that start line and was like, I don't even want to do it now. Like, I really just didn't get excited at all. So, didn't really set me off on the best start. And then I did spend the whole race just talking myself into it. And I really was...
Yeah.
I was, like, many a time, like, should I just stop? And then, but then, you know, you get quite far along. Well, it was like 5 miles in, and I kind of thought, well, if I stop now, I'm like in the middle of Hackney. And then I realised I didn't actually have any bank card on me. I didn't have any. Normally I like put my, like a bit of cash or something in my pocket. Didn't even have that.
Yeah, so it's not like you could have jumped on a bus or something.
No, so it was going to be like, it was either like run / walk on the course or run / walk on the pavement. So I was like, I genuinely talked to myself. I crossed through, like through halfway and I thought, well, if I'm going to walk, like, on the side, I might as well just stay on the course. So I pretty much spent the 7 miles run walking. But, yeah, not one of my strongest moments. I'm really pleased I saw you.
Yeah, so I didn't do Hackney, even though I had a place because of general not training. Which, although I think, even if I'd trained for that race, if I woke up, I wouldn't have done it. I hate running in the heat anyway. It was 27 degrees, it was so hot. I would have woken up and been like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and I think that's the sensible thing to do. I felt terrible all week, and I think that's because of the race.
Well, yeah, it would have a massive impact though, wouldn't it? Because it was really hot, and then you're really dehydrated, and it's just really tiring.
Hot and tired, and all I did was stand on the side of the road.
Yeah, you still came and cheered, though. Cheered good.
Yeah, great weather for cheering, I have to say.
Good tanning. It's definitely got a really nice atmosphere, that race. There's a lot of people that come out on the street, quite a lot of drums and, you know, like people playing music, and there were loads of people with their hoses. I was running through, like, you know, someone in their front garden,
yeah,
which just had their hose out. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's really nice.
You could just like run over and she'd spray you down. I had my shot blocks in my back pocket and I pulled them out and they fell on the floor. And luckily there were so many people giving out jelly babies that I just like had jelly babies on the route. So kind of like, I feel like it was a really positive race from that point of view. Maybe the weather helps that, but I think from a runner's point of view,
oh yeah, definitely help spectators. They're like, oh yeah, let's sit in our garden and watch
that's nice. But yeah, the runners, I think everybody just looked a bit mashed. Like, I saw so many people having a really bad time, you know, medical attention.
Really?
Yeah, they were just a bit like, I think they need to move the date.
It just suddenly gets really hot. It got moved once already, didn't it? Because it used to be in June, and then it got moved to May for this
reason.
Which,
again, like, you wouldn't have thought it would be that hot at the beginning of May.
Well, because now it's freezing cold again.
It's like a freak weekend every year.
It is. But apparently, by the end of the race, like after about 2.5 hours, anyone that was still on the course, the race organisers were telling people that they weren't allowed to try and run anymore. They had to walk it in.
Really? Because it would be too hot and they'd been out in the sun too long.
Yeah, they've been out too long now.
Well, I was thinking, like, this is just sunstroke territory, isn't it? 2 hours in direct sunlight.
That's exactly why I wouldn't do it, because I get sunstroke really easily. So I just wouldn't want to risk it.
No, I mean, and of course that makes, mentally, you're just all I was thinking about the whole time was like, this is a stupid idea, why am I doing this? But I would say that, for, you know, the race organisers were certainly exactly doing things like that. I suppose they had the advantage of knowing, like, in the lead up to the race, there was so much, you know, the weather was very clearly forecasted, that they did go really prepared. There was loads of water, they had a lot of shower stations, more than any race I've been to in the past. So it did feel like they were as prepared for the runners as they could be. But, poof, tough. The end of that feeling. However, what is really nice in the sunshine, I've been cycling.
Yes.
And I actually have been cycling more than once weekly, which was my aim.
Yeah.
In fact, no, it was once monthly.
Once monthly?
Yeah, because I think I was starting small.
Yeah. You definitely went for the realistic aim then.
Yeah, I went safe. Yes, I've been going like a couple of times a week cycling to work, and particularly the end of this week, the weather, like, cool. I understand why people like cycling in the summer now.
It's really, really nice not to have to like put on all of your clothes. I did think the other day when it was really warm, I was like, this is what through winter, like, you battle
is
through
worth
winter.
For.
Yeah, this is what you're waiting
true.
For.
You have to do the winter to appreciate the summer.
Definitely.
Maybe.
So nice.
It's such a good thing.
Although you now have the kind of awkward, it's really easy to put on too many clothes while cycling.
Yes.
And then you get really sweaty. Especially if you've got a rucksack and then you get really sweaty back, which you just don't have the problem of when it's cold.
It's true. I've definitely been experiencing, like, wearing too many layers. Also getting caught out in that crazy summer shower, spring shower rain.
Oh yeah, I got absolutely soaked the other day.
Yeah, I've definitely done that too. So there's some learning curves to be had.
After Hackney weekend when it was really hot, I was like, yes, it's summer now. So the next day, or like the next few days, I went to work with like bare legs, tiny little jacket. I was like, yay, it's summer. And then, yeah, one day I had to cycle home in basically just a dress and it was absolutely pissing it down.
Bleak,
very bleak.
Bleak. So what's next in your running calendar?
Oh yes, as I just mentioned, going to Gothenburg in Sweden on Friday for the Gothenburg Half Marathon.
This is the biggest. It's
the biggest
very
half marathon in the world.
Which is how many people do we think?
65,000 people.
Wow.
I'm in the 23rd start wave.
Oh
so
gosh.
The race starts at 1 and my wave is at 4:45 in the afternoon on a Saturday. So it's all very weird.
Why is
not
that?
Used to running on a Saturday in the afternoon.
Why is like 4 o'clock the right time?
I don't know. It's weird.
It seems very interesting.
That's an interesting one. Let me have a look at what the temperature's going to be. Oh, rain. Good. Oh, no. It's going to rain all weekend.
Oh, no. Oh,
16 degrees and rainy. Okay, good. So that'll be fun.
Oh, so after we've just complained about running in hot conditions.
Yeah.
Now it's time to run in the cold.
Yes. I've run like 4 times in the last 2.5 months. So this is going to be interesting.
But you're running with a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Running with Gosha, who's been on the podcast before, and just going to see how it goes. If I have to walk in the rain, I have to walk in the rain.
But the atmosphere of it will be really fun.
Yeah. I know I'm probably not doing the most sensible thing by insisting that I'm going to try and run it, but we're going specifically for this race. I'm not going to go back and do this race another time. It's not somewhere where I'm going to go often. Mm. I'm probably not going to go back to Gothenburg again, so I feel like I ought to just get it done. I really want the medal.
Is it a good medal?
I don't know, but I just want it. Want a medal?
Bring it home and show it to us.
Okay. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I've got 2 hours to get to 13k, so I don't get picked up by the sweeper. So
2 hours to get to 13k, so half. Oh, you're definitely going to get to the halfway point within 2 hours. You could do the whole race in 2 hours. You will do the whole race in 2 hours.
Yeah. No, but
ish.
Hopefully less than 4.
Yes, I'm hoping for less than 4. More for the point of being out in the rain for 4 hours doesn't sound that nice.
What's next for you?
I don't have any races booked in at the moment. That's me. That's my races planned for now. Your September, October is...
I've also now just booked 2 more half marathons. One in September, one in October.
You've gone from no races to all the races.
Oh, yeah. I'm just a sucker for going away for races. In the last week, booked Stockholm Half in September and Amsterdam Half in October. Neither of which I've done before.
Great destinations.
Yeah.
That's why running tourism is great. So I am very tempted to join you for one of those, potentially the Amsterdam one. But I need to... That's more of a finances-related thing than a running-related thing.
I've had this sub-2 goal for quite some time, which was supposed to be happening at Gothenburg, which obviously now isn't because my foot's been hurting. So now I'm giving myself 2 more opportunities in the autumn to do it, which I'm going to say now is probably not going to happen because I'm really bad at training through the summer. So
to get you up early,
this is a rolling goal.
Like, you got your rebel, the one rebel stuff is going
to
help.
I'm really good at getting up and going to classes in the morning. I'm rubbish at going for a run before work.
Do a class that involves a bit of running in the morning.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like going into one with treadmill stuff in it.
Yeah.
Is helpful.
It's a good way to do it.
So I think I just need to make training a bit more of a habit again because I've had a few weeks of not really doing anything. So I've kind of got out of the routine.
It's all about routine.
All about habits.
That's how I ended up doing cycling.
Yeah. Yay. Have to make it a habit. So we actually read a really interesting article the other day about habits. So we're both... almost at 30.
Mm.
Not quite. Okay, almost at 29.
Which is bad enough. Looming.
Looming very fast.
Mine's sooner than me.
And there was an article the other day about habits to break before you're 30. 29 habits to break before you're 30. And I have to say, I related to quite a lot of them.
Yeah, because when I started to read it, we featured it in our internet reads, actually, and I thought, when I read the headline, that it was going to be full of kind of like trashy... like silly things.
Yeah.
Like it would be a joke article. Mm. And actually, all of it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. I'll show that. My one, the first one was like spending money on cheap clothes, which I definitely am really bad for because I'm not very good at committing a lot of money in one go.
Mm.
I'm very volume based on the clothes.
Yeah, it's hard to buy just one thing for a lot of money when you think, oh, I could get 5 tops for this much money.
I still crave variety.
But yeah, the variety thing is interesting as well, but I'm not very good at doing this myself, but I'm a big believer in less but better quality.
Yeah.
I try really hard, but then I fall into H&M and then it all goes awry.
That's kind of what happens to me. Also, like, I remember talking to someone about this and they were talking about things like, we're talking about how you should have like your own work uniform.
Mm.
If you had your kind of self-capsule wardrobe, you'd invest in certain pieces because that would be like your, that's what you are, and that's, you know, kind of like the quality, you'd then be having the better quality clothes and you'd have less of them. But because probably I haven't really ever quite figured out what that is, I've just bought volume for, right, that means I can change my mood depending on what I feel like.
Yeah, I think I have too many different like styles to have that limited kind of uniform thing.
Yeah,
like this week I've gone to work in a really really smart tailored dress, and the next day I went to work in like jeans and a t-shirt, so completely like different looks. I couldn't be the same every day.
No, one of my things that is linked to this about, you know, stop spending money on cheap clothes, like stop like buying twice all the time, trying to dress more, I don't know, not smartly at work, but to feel like that you're wearing an outfit rather than, because mine typically can be a bit, I can be very lazy in the clothes I wear, and very like, particularly if I've ran in or something, it's like what fits in my backpack and doesn't crease.
Yeah.
And I think in order for me to be taken a bit more seriously, I should dress a bit more appropriately. But not in like,
appropriately.
Yeah, not like, just, oh yeah, I'm going to rock out a power dress. As in, I think, like dress with taste and dress with style.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I really can't be bothered, like the jeans and a t-shirt day. And I don't feel like that's the day I'm going to have my most powerful conversations with people.
Yeah, that's my like, leave me at my desk
yeah,
day.
I'm just going to do some work on my own in the corner day. So the top one for me, which I just cannot seem to ever crack, is not being late for things.
I know worse people.
Yeah, so I think this is actually more annoying because I'm never really, really late for things. I'm probably between 10 and 20 minutes late for everything.
Just, 20 minutes is a lot.
20 minutes is like the top end of my lateness. Like that happens very rarely.
Yeah,
usually it's about
something's...
10 minutes. And it's purely because I just haven't quite left enough time if I have to wait 5 minutes for a tube instead of one.
Yeah.
Whereas... I build in absolutely no buffer. So if City Mapper says it's going to take 32 minutes to get somewhere, I will leave 30 minutes.
Whereas I leave like 35.
Yeah.
But then I'm also terminally early and that's really annoying.
Well, this is the thing that stops me, is because I try and be better at it and then I'm early for a bit and then I'm like, this is why I'm never early for things, because you waste so much time hanging around waiting for other people.
Yeah, because you realise that bit's really boring.
But also, after almost missing my flight...
Ooh.
Last
like,
week.
You know, that brings like hives into my body.
So I got to the airport really late and then my bag got shot off down the extra check thing at security.
Of course, it always does.
In a massive queue, 25 minutes till our plane was taking off. I just cried. I didn't know what else to do. I just broke down at security. I was like, you need to help me. I'm going to miss my plane.
Maybe crying is the best option.
I didn't do it deliberately. I just was like, this is horrible. We're going to miss our flight.
As a near 30-year-old woman, my solution to nearly missing my flight is to cry on someone. That probably should be a list on here.
So
look.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe instead of almost missing my flight, I should just got there a bit earlier.
Maybe.
I've only ever missed one plane, not plane, train. I'm pretty good at not missing trains, but I'm always the person that's like sprinting through St Pancras.
Mm.
And then all like hot and sweaty when I finally get on the train. I don't want to be that person.
And then I'm the person who's like sat and had a coffee for so long that I'm like bone bored already. I've,
like, yeah,
like
this 2-hour journey has taken 3 hours because I've just been sat on the train for so long.
So there's definitely a balance to be struck. What are the other ones on this? I quite like surrounding that whole work thing.
Mm.
Mine is not being afraid to ask for a raise.
Yes.
And, well, I have good knowledge now on techniques to do this.
So I actually asked for a pay rise a couple of months ago and got one, which I'm not I feel really weird. I feel really weird admitting it. Like it should be a secret, but why should it be a secret? Because
what one of the things on the list says: don't be ashamed of your success. You were successful. And
like,
I hadn't
admitted that to anyone I work with, so if they listen to this, they'll find out for the first time. But why should I? I've got my money. Woohoo!
It depends how your company is and how transparent your company is.
Yeah,
and it can be very uncomfortable because you can discover. I've been in a work environment in past places where I've discovered that we are on all one wildly different salaries, and we can all be doing the same
job. I think that's probably what makes it so uncomfortable. So I think the lesson here is, if you don't ask, you don't get. And I'm really bad at asking for things that I feel uncomfortable or feel like I don't deserve, or the rules say that it's actually this, so I'm not even going to bother asking.
Yeah,
so.
I'm very law-abiding when it comes to
anything. Oh, yeah, definitely. Me too. Even to the point where, like, if I'm in a tube station and it says, don't go down those stairs, go down those stairs, I'm like, it says no entry on that one, so you've got to go down that one.
Well,
but that's because I'm very much... Everyone should just do what they're supposed to, and then it all works better for everyone, which is probably some kind of very high moral.
I love... This is what I don't like about this, like, you know, break all these habits. It's like, oh, man, I've got to address a lot of things that are, like, embedded into my psyche and or near on 30 years.
Of not daring to ask for whatever it might be.
Which probably means, you know, I'm sure we'll look back on this and ask for everything we want. You've got your raise, so it's proved that it's successful, so we should apply these things in our lives. Yeah, some days you just don't really feel like doing that.
No. So my next one was actually doing grocery shopping.
I feel like this is naughty of you. You're so, like, into your cycling, into your, like, good health, lots of fitness, and yet how often are you eating out if this means you're not buying groceries?
Yeah, quite often. Admittedly, I've been away a bit recently, but I can't remember the last time I did a food shop, like a proper one. There's never any food in my fridge. Probably for at least 3 months there's not been any food in my fridge, other than maybe a pack of butter and a block of cheese.
Ready to snack on.
Yep. I feel like that's one of the key things that makes me feel like I've got my shit together.
Having, like, food in your fridge. I must say, mine's like food prep. You know, like, if I do my lunches for a week, I feel very organised.
For me, it's dinner. So I have made the conscious decision to always eat breakfast and lunch at my office because my canteen's quite cheap. So I've kind of budgeted for the fact that I have a certain amount a day, and that's probably for me the most cost effective way of doing it. But dinners, I'm really bad at, I don't know, going to Spanish class and getting home at 9 o'clock and being like, oh, I've got no food. Whereas this week I actually did have every night I came home and had stuff ready to eat straight away. How I like being.
And that makes a difference.
So you don't end up eating like,
yeah, you don't
crumpets default for dinner.
Yeah, you know when you look back and you're like, that day I ate porridge for dinner, and you're like, this is a dark time.
Yeah, crumpets is not.
I'm all for bread, you know. I all like a brinner, but I think a brinner's great, but I think it needs to involve protein.
I actually did have brinner the other day. I had like scrambled egg, avo, mushrooms.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fine. That's nutritious.
That's balanced. But
crumpet.
Yeah, porridge is not. It's also weird. It was too strange. I didn't deal with it very well.
Yeah.
I felt really confused.
We've spoken before about eating the right food at the right time, actually.
We need to live by our rules.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Go on, give me one more.
My last one is the one that it finishes with, and I think it's like you have to stop waiting for real life to start. That just makes me feel a bit freaked out, because I know I'm such a sucker for you know, when I'm a grown-up, I'll do this. Like the clothes thing.
Yeah.
But where's the... It's scary because what's the only thing that's preventing you making any changes is ourselves.
It's like our own self-employed. It's not wanting to spend £50 on a t-shirt.
Yes, yes. And maybe that's the ideal signaler of grown-upness, is it? But that waiting for real life to start, like stop thinking, oh, I'll do that when I can do this, is a really hard obstacle to overcome, I think. The reality that I know, and the next decade is going to be as exciting as the last one, but I don't know, you're just very aware that your 20s are coming to a last 10 years and a very formative one. Yeah, makes me depressed.
What, that you're not going to be in your 20s anymore?
Not that, like as in the last decade has passed, I think.
Yeah.
And I've had a really good time, but I'm like, oh my God, like... When I was younger, you know, people who you knew were 30 were...
Oh, yeah. They're like proper grown-ups.
You know, they have the shit together.
Your face is like panicked.
Yeah. That was a face for radio. anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were 29. I probably could have gone through all of them, to be fair.
Yeah. Mine's just... One, mine's number 9, staying with a partner who makes you feel anything less than awesome. And I think this is such a stupid, like, teenage thing to do, and I do it all the time. I say this phrase all the time, actually. We know it's not always sunshine and rainbows.
Life is not sunshine and rainbows.
But overall, your partner should make you feel happy, secure, beautiful and loved. And, yeah, there's been people that don't do that, and I keep chasing around after them like an idiot, so...
Like a teen.
Like a teen, yeah.
Like a teen on heat.
So that's not even like be a 30-year-old, that's just don't be a teenager.
But I think that's true not just of things in love as well, it can be in just life in general, like people.
Yeah.
They talk quite a lot, don't they, about, like, we've talked about it with the experiences with friends, and how much you should just be like, embrace the people who make you feel awesome and support you.
Oh yeah, I think there's something about there actually about don't flake out on friendships, but equally, if it's a like rubbish friendship or relationship or whatever, then you
just move on.
It's fine to just let it go.
Good idea. I actually read that book called Busy, which all talks about, it talks about, you know, we've talked about it before, like the chronic feeling of being busy and blaming it all of the time. And he did, I'm not sure this is a theory, I haven't quite worked it out, but he reckons your capacity for knowing people is 150 people. And you can only manage relationships with 15 people.
Okay.
At kind of like, that's your kind of max
at
number.
At a decent level.
Yeah, that makes you feel connected and valued and da da da. And I thought that was an interesting, like, I haven't quite thought through whether I think that's a true thing or not.
Mm.
But I do think it's true that sometimes I can feel either that I spread myself too thinly or I'm too concentrated. So maybe that measurement of a number is a good way of steering.
Yeah.
But then it's like weird because then you kind of have to be like, is there like a weird line where you're like, well, you're number 16, so
yeah,
you're out.
I don't know, I feel like that feels like quite a good number actually.
Yeah,
when I guess that includes everyone, like family.
Yeah, he did reference, or that kind of referenced like, yeah, it's about like the whole touch point of your life.
Mm.
And yeah, I thought that was quite an interesting concept. Mm.
Yes, have we got anything else to talk about this week? I don't think we have.
No.
Cool, well, if you liked the sound, well, we'll tweet the link to that article again. We also included it in our newsletter. So for more interesting internet reads, subscribe to our newsletter.
Yeah, which you can find on our website, which is oftrpodcast.wordpress.com, and you can find us on Twitter, Instagram and a little bit of Facebook. Not starting the Snapchat yet then.
Oh yeah,
well, I just follow Lizzie on Snapchat, sounds like a lot of stuff goes down.
It does.
Okay, this is not a chat for now. I wanted to ask you some intricacies of Snapchat.
Okay.
Like, so could anyone see retrospectively what you've posted? That's it just disappears
just for 24 hours if you do a story.
That is the concept of Snapchat.
But the thing I'm really enjoying about Snapchat at the moment is that I am living a social life vicariously through my younger colleagues. Because basically what people do is they get drunk and then they Snapchat their whole evening.
So and like, you watch them
we're in this bar, we're in this bar, we're in this bar. We're dancing, we're dancing, we're dancing, we're dancing, we're having a shot, we're falling asleep.
Here's me on the bed.
Yeah. That actually what happened the other morning, I woke up and managed to see the whole of the previous night in like short video form, and I was like, oh yay, now I don't need to, you know, be out having a hangover.
I actually think one of those habits is don't live through social media vicariously. So interesting.
Okay, so I should be going out and getting
maybe
drunk.
Maybe I should be going out and getting drunk.
But then one of them was also don't get too drunk. Oh my god, this is so confusing.
So many rules. Well, that's it for this week.
The only rule is follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. And subscribe
to the newsletter.
And leave us a nice feedback. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
See you soon.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.